All right, good morning. So, a couple things before we start out. Look at these cool new t-shirts. Aren't those sweet? Woo! We are kingdom people. So, I don't know if you guys noticed this morning, but this speaker keeps going out. We're on the very cusp. We ordered a new sound system. Ooh, it was very expensive, which is why we've pushed it off for so long. And so part of trying to just make sure that we're not dipping into long-term capital savings, we're selling these shirts. We got some hats coming in, but just as ongoing capital raise projects, we're going to be selling some stuff like this for a suggested donation of $25. So if you guys want to give more, that'd be great. The Lord's moving, and we have issues with this every week. I think part of it is spiritual, but part of it is some of it's 15 years old, some of it's 20 years old, some of it's maybe longer than that. But we just want to make sure that we're stewarding what the Lord has given us well. So we'd love to partner with you guys in this. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. Thank you for the worship that we are able to lift your name high. We thank you for our children, that you are encountering them in deep and powerful ways. God, we thank you for this body, that you are bringing in people from all walks of life to encounter your power and your goodness. So I just pray that you would be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Chris said, so the final count was actually 21 baptisms. We had one person pull out at the last second. Maybe it was the temperature of the water. I'm not quite sure. But something cool that some people don't know. So we live in the San Juan National Forest. So we have the San Juan Range. We have the San Juan River that comes through our town. So this is named after St. John the Baptist. And so what was so cool is that we baptized 21 people in the St. John the Baptist River. How cool is that, right? And so we're going to be talking about that today and be praying, our intercessors be praying over the speaker so that we don't get distracted, okay? That's your charge this morning. So we're going to be talking about the baptism today. So last week, we're going to have that up on the website to listen to. Daniel saved us and brought his little recording machine, so we will have that for those that didn't hear it. But she brought an amazing word on the baptism of water. And so this is what John the Baptist came with. Is, are we okay back there, guys? On that? Okay. Is that John the Baptist came to bring the baptism of repentance through water. And in Matthew 3, he then says that Jesus is coming to bring the baptism of the Spirit and of fire. So we're going to be talking about those other two baptisms, which are two differentiating ones of the baptism of the Spirit and the baptism of fire. But this whole idea of baptism and why we're talking about this in this identity series is baptism is something that is, we see the old man dying in Christ, and then the new man raising up in Christ as well, okay? And so that's why we're talking about baptism and identity, is we are now raised into something that is greater than ourselves, that has come from Jesus. So a couple of clarifications before we hop in too deep into this. One is baptism and salvation are different. So we are not saved because we get baptized either by water in forgiveness and repentance or by the Holy Spirit, but it's we are saved by grace through faith, okay? So that's Ephesians 2. That's very clear in the Word, is that we're not talking about salvation today. We are talking about sanctification and being drawn deeper into the will and the power of God. So the baptism of water and why we do that, because we get those questions all the time. It's like, all right, why are we doing this? Like, does this actually do anything? And what it is we don't get baptized alone. Or, you know, we can't baptize ourselves. Ko was saying that all the time. Like, now that we go to the river, he's like, Dad, I just got baptized. And I'm like, well, I mean, you went under the water. But baptism is the public and the prophetic declaration before family and before our body, the body of Christ, to be baptized into, saying, hey, I am now an old man. The old man is gone. I have repented of my sin, and the new man has raised up, and I am alive in Christ. And so, all right, we're switching. Hello, hello. All right, let's try this one. Okay. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm getting a lot of, okay, we're going back. Red one or green one? Oh, man. Oh, man, there's lots going on. All right, I guess it's green. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So the baptism of water and repentance is that public declaration of I am alive in Christ. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes and we are infilled with the Holy Spirit. And just a small language thing is we say we have Jesus in our hearts, but Jesus clearly in the word is sitting at the right hands of the Father. So when we receive salvation, we're actually asking the Holy Spirit into our hearts to live and to dwell as a comforter. And again, like, if you say, I have Jesus in my heart, that's great. Again, it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But as we're thinking about that and the roles of the Trinity and the fullness of how we walk that out, that is something that He, as God, desires for us to walk in the fullness. So sometimes, even though they're different things, when we get baptized by water, sometimes we get baptized by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the fire comes right there. And we'll talk about that in a second. That happened a couple times this weekend. And someone told me, it was like, hey, I went under that water and I came up and I felt like a new man and I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. And amen to that. That's powerful. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. And so I just want to be clear with that. So let's talk about the roles of God and just that clarity of what we talked about with asking the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Because through this whole series, we've talked about the Father, we've talked about some of the roles of the Son, and we've talked about the Holy Spirit. So the Father, that's the holder of identity. He is the one that releases identity to His people. He is the one sitting on the throne. He is the one that sets the tone for the three. He is the one that sent the Son, right? The Son, Jesus. He is the bridge. He is the way into the kingdom, and He is the one that's coming back to rule and to reign and invites us into that with Him. And then the Holy Spirit, I love this. I love some of the names of the Holy Spirit. You do have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have the Comforter. You have the hands. I think in Luke it says that He is the finger of God. He is the one that actually reaches out and He touches in power and in might what He's doing. Yeah, it's in Luke 11:20. And the Holy Spirit is who lives in our heart. Okay? All right, let's turn to our Bibles and in our apps to Matthew 3. Okay. So this is basically in every gospel. I'm choosing to be in Matthew 3, not discounting the rest of the gospels. Okay? So let's start in verse 7. He says, but when He saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to His baptism, He said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And this is John speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. His winnowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn.
but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. That's a lot. So we're setting that up. Now let's talk about what is this baptism that Jesus brings. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we see this just next in John, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what came before Jesus performed any miracles, okay? So there's this idea that the Father sent the Holy Spirit onto Jesus to then perform miracles. Okay, so Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit right after he was baptized in water, which, again, John was confused. He was like, why are you here? Why are you getting baptized by water when you should be baptizing men? You are sinless and blameless. Why are you doing this? And so for Jesus, he is saying, look at my life, do what I do. I am going to walk through these steps of the baptism of water, and then you're going to see as a dove coming down and the Father speaking his identity from the throne room of heaven, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So as a father, he's speaking through and he's saying, okay, here is power. Now walk in that power in this world. So there's this receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus's life. And we see that then he starts walking out miracles. So something that's very interesting that I've seen in life is that, and let's just look at the Bible for a second, that the disciples walked out in miracles, okay? Can everyone agree on that? That we see in the Bible that they walked in miracles, but they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. So how do they do that? And I'm going to propose to you today that they were under the authority and the anointing of Jesus. So Jesus received the anointing. He received the Holy Spirit. And because they were submitted under Jesus, they were able to walk out in the same power that he has. Okay? But they had not received the Holy Spirit. And I've seen that in life. Like, I remember when I went over to Mozambique, we were praying for people and there were healings happening that I had not experienced nor fought for in my own life. I had not received the anointing or the power or fought in that place of healing to perform some of the healings that I saw, but I was underneath Heidi Baker's anointing and someone else that had received this gift and this power of healing through the Holy Spirit, and I was under that. The second that I walked away from under her authority, that power left me. And for me, I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want a power that came from somebody else. It's a secondhand power. And that's what Jesus said too. He says, it's better that I leave, that the Holy Spirit comes to you and that you receive it for yourself. Amen. I don't want you guys to operate under the leadership of this, like what we have fought for. It's good. I want you to get halfway there. But what this leadership is here for is to say, we desire for the Holy Spirit to endow you with power so that you have a personal relationship with him and walk in signs and wonders and miracles. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we are baptized and then we can walk into some sort of anointing and some sort of power. And I think it gets really weird in the charismatic church, and I want to de-weirdify it because this is just the Christian walk. That we are called to walk in power because the Holy Spirit, our comforter, has come to say, I want to work through you. So the baptism of the Spirit and then the baptism of fire, which we'll get into in a sec. I'm going to stay focused. But the baptism of the Spirit empowers us for the ministry and then to guide people into truth. Right? Because what's assumed is when we are baptized in the Spirit, we are then invited into the fruits of the Spirit. Because that's what it says. If you are a tree, or I will lay an axe to you, like a tree that does not bear good fruit, and you will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So we're all trees, and when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have two choices. We can either walk in fruitfulness and walk in what the Holy Spirit produces, or we can walk on our own way and say, hey, I'm good. I got saved. I said the prayer. Absolutely, you're in salvation. But God desires for you, once you take that step of baptism, and that's why it's public, is my son Declan, who got baptized this week, we have different conversations. He has now said, I am a sinner. I have repented. My old man is dead. My new man is alive. and now, and he's received the Spirit. I have seen it. Like, he told me of, like, Dad, I don't know what's going on, but I've received, like, I feel warm and I feel different. And it's like, man, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and it's now time for you to walk in a different way. And so, parents, I'm going to get on to you for a second. Your children, we keep children in here for worship to train them as worshipers. Okay? That's what they're here for. And so I just want to challenge you. I love the chaos. That's one of our things that we say is embrace the chaos. But I want to challenge you. If your kids are not right by you watching you worship, then we're not doing it right. Make sure that we are saying, look at what I do, because I look at what the Father does. And Jesus looks at what the Father does. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in worship and in power so that we raise up warriors. This is not a babysitting club. We are raising up warriors. Amen? So I want to talk about my baptism of the Holy Spirit for a second. So I received Jesus at a very young age. I was like hyper focused on sin, if that makes sense. Like at 6 years old, I came to my mom like, I sin, clearly. I take frogs from under the deck and chase my sisters around to just, like, I am a sinful man, you know? And so I got baptized and I walked through with my pastor and all that. The next year, I'm like, I'm still doing that thing. And so obviously there's still sin in my life. It didn't work the first time. So the next year I came to my pastor and he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, all right, we'll do it. I think you understand now. Then a tent revivalist came and I'm like, man, there's still sin in my life. So obviously the first two didn't take. So I did a third time and finally, I understood the baptism of like, okay, I got it. I'm now walking in baptism because I'm walking in forgiveness. Okay? So then fast forward, we move here, and my friends that I start surrounding myself with are on fire for the Holy Spirit, and I had never experienced that before. I had heard about it. I'd heard stories. We had a huge revival in Lasbuddy, Texas in the 70s during the Jesus movement. So I had heard these stories about what it is, but where we kind of got to is that was great for them. Awesome, you guys have the gift. For me, God has me on a different path. And so, but I was sitting in there. They were, you know, speaking in tongues. They were shaking. They were doing all these weird things. And I'm like, and you know, people would be praying over people and they'd be pushing them down. Or I thought they were, right? And getting slain in the spirit. And I'm like, man, these guys are a bunch of kooks, but I love them. And the fruit of their life is what I want. So I'm not leaving. So 11, 12, 13, 14, like summer after summer, we would have these amazing, like we'd go out into the middle of the wilderness and just pray. And everybody, it seemed like everybody was getting touched by the Holy Spirit but me. And so I came to the conclusion, well, I'm saved. And so obviously the Spirit has something different for me. I'm just going to be the normal guy in the group. And, you know, I felt like a DD sometimes. So then we... there's this mission trip to Peru, and I'm like, man, I'm going to that. That sounds fun. And so 13, 14, every summer, there would be my friends, they would like be in this moment of the Spirit, and they'd prophesy saying, Rory, the Lord wants you to have the gift of tongues. I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. Like, why do you guys, I mean, who cares? Like, I don't, like, God's going to give it to me if he's going to give it to me, but you don't have to tell me what God wants for my life, right? So I was taking these moments of prophecy, and it kept happening. It probably happened a dozen times of random people would come up to me saying, Rory, the Lord wants you to receive the gift of tongues. And I'm like, finally, I'm like, get out of my face. So literally, Clinton Lease's youngest son, we almost got into a fist fight in the church parking lot because he was like, Rory, God has this for you. Wake up. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So we go to Peru. We're in the middle of nowhere in the jungles of the Amazon, and we're praying over people one night. And for the first time, I realized that I had felt God topically. Does that make sense? I felt God topically, but I had not felt him inside of myself. And so for the first time when I was praying, I didn't feel him topically anymore. And I'm like praying over this lady. I'm like, God, what is happening? And I'm 15 years old. What is happening right now? And I just heard like the clearest I have ever heard of the voice of the Lord up until that point, not audibly, but like it just resonated through my being. And he says, open your mouth. And I'm like, all right. So I opened my mouth and this language that was not my own started coming out. And this rushing wind just like flooded through my body. And that night, that was the first time that I was a part of casting a demon out. That was the first time I had seen healings that I was praying for, and something happened. And so that was the moment for me that I was baptized by the Spirit. And I just want to be very clear, we talked about this a few weeks ago, is that the gift of tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit sometimes correlate, but not always. So if you are one that's like, man, I haven't received the gift of tongues, so I'm not filled with the Spirit, just cast that out of your mind right now. The Holy Spirit will work in the way he wants to work. But the difference is that it's an indwelling Spirit that is working in and through you. If we are encountering the Holy Spirit intimately, we will see fruits of our life. And this is shown, this idea of fruitfulness is shown from the foundation of the earth. It says, go be fruitful and multiply. So when we are in intimacy, there will be multiplication. Amen? So then you can go, if you're encountering the Spirit and there's not fruitfulness, there's something wrong. And the Lord wants to come and baptize in fire. So I love this verse. I just want to kind of derail a little bit. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. I'm going to read this out of the Message. And this is talking about the salvation that we receive, but then that we receive some of the Holy Spirit. It says, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, that this is the message of salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This, the Holy Spirit, is the down payment from God, is the first installment of what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. And that's in this life, but he's saying there's something coming and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit in power to be fruitful in this life, but it's going to be so much better than you think and can imagine in the new kingdom. So we have an opportunity to walk in the heavenly things now by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit in order to understand and to be sanctified into what's coming. That's what it is. When we say that we're receiving the Holy Spirit, we are saying, I am ready to be sanctified. And that's hard. That's what we say. It was like, I want to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. What you're praying is, God, I want the power, and then I want you to burn off everything that is not of you. Okay, so that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think, and I don't know this to be biblically true, this is a straight up opinion. For me in my life, I have felt like there has been moments of baptism where it's different from filling, which we'll talk about in a second, but there has been moments of baptism. That time in Peru, that was my first baptism. There was later, I was in YWAM, and does everyone know what YWAM is? Youth of the Mission. It's a great mission organization. It's awesome. We have a lot of YWAMers here. I was there, and this was a super fun one. It was like music, and then there was like outdoor pursuits. There was like snowboarders, and then like cool guitar players, you know, that had the hair. And these guys were in New Zealand to have a great time. And so I showed up, and I'm like, man, that looks super fun. It's my first time out of the house. And then God whispered to me when I got off the plane. He said, Rory, I will give you as much as you pour into. So if you pour into it, I will give it to you. And I'm like, all right. Deal. So if I spend my time goofing off and playing all the time, he's not going to be there. But if I go deep in the presence, if I set myself apart for the 6 months, he will encounter me. So I started doing that. I would wake up before everybody and I would say, God, give me a hunger for your word. And he would give me a hunger for his word. And I felt like I was growing in relationship with him, that he was sanctifying my heart and starting to purge out a lot of these things that I dealt with in my life. And then we got to one of the last weeks, and there was this old guy. I don't remember his name. I don't remember what we were even talking about for that week, but he was like 80 or 90. So he could like barely walk, and we could barely hear him. And the whole time I was just praying, God, would you encounter my heart with something greater than what I'm walking in right now? And so we got to the last day. It's Friday, and he starts to pray over us. And it was just like, all right, everyone stand up. This is the only thing we understood. Stand up and line up. So we're like, all right, we got that. And so he starts praying down the line and, you know, pretty normal prayers, I remember. And then all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God hit me in such a huge and powerful way. And this dude doesn't even touch me. And I fly back three rows. So it's like this type of chairs. I end up on the third row back underneath the chairs somehow. And I'm like, and I'm the only one. So everyone else is standing up it's like a normal 90-year-old dude praying. Everyone stands up, and then Rory is like making a scene again and ended up underneath the chairs speaking in tongues. And like I got up, and all my friends are like, dude, that was not cool. Like, that was super inappropriate that you did that. I'm like, oh, God. And it was that. It was like God had to break down my pride because I'm like, what, God, what was that? What was the benefit? And he had, and that was a marking moment for me of, Rory, you are now baptized into something deeper because you chose me. The two parts of those baptisms are this, is that both of those moments were times when I was set apart. I said yes to God and saying, I will go to the ends of the earth for your gospel. He met me in Peru. In New Zealand, there were two options for me. One, I could have just hung out in a great country, skateboarded every day, played music. We had a recording studio. Or I could encounter God with what he had for me in that moment of life. And in both times, he showed up in a baptism moment saying, okay, you are now graduated to the next phase. You are baptized, and that old man of hanging out and having fun all the time is dead. Now, if you guys know me, I love to hang out and have a good time. So that part hadn't been, but I got baptized into an encounter of the Spirit that cannot come from anyone else but the Spirit. So he's going to set you apart. And this forerunner anointing that John the Baptist is, so that's what it is. Isaiah 40 is the forerunner message of, look, there is one crying from the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what this city and that's what this church is called to. We are a forerunner church, which means we are called to prepare the way of the Lord. So in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, so this is the very end of it. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So it's talking through Isaiah 40 of John the Baptist, who's baptizing by water, and then Jesus comes and baptizes by fire. It says, if you wait on me, I will renew your strength. I will draw you deeper than what your physical body could do and draw you into new life. Amen. So very briefly, the difference in baptism of the Holy Spirit and filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that happens continuously. Of, I'm getting up here to speak today, and we prayed in that room back there, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can speak your word. We prayed that over Mark. God, fill Mark with the Spirit so he can praise you in your words. So those are moments of, he's given times of prophecy. There has given times of tongues. There has given times of Samson in the Bible. He like ripped apart a donkey or something instead of a goat. It's like, that's random. But there was the filling of the Spirit that gave him extra strength to do what he needed to do in that moment. Okay? I want to quickly step back before we go into the baptism of fire. And guys, I know we're a little late, but I feel like we need to lock into this moment. Is everyone okay with that? Okay, all right. There is a fence in the church that has been more rampant than ever in history. Can we agree on that? Of like, that person hurt me in church. That person abused me in church. And a lot of times, those are people who operated underneath an authority that was not their own. But when we as believers operate in the authority from the Holy Spirit alone, there is no room for us to sit in a fence. It happens very quickly where we get offended and the Holy Spirit's conviction is so, no matter if you're the one that did the sin towards the person or the one that is offended, the Holy Spirit quickly brings it to our hearts of, you have to deal with this immediately. We are not moving on. That happened this week in our life group of, we were making some jokes about somebody and they're like, that really hurt my feelings. And so we stopped. All right, we're stopping. We're going to deal with this right now. And it was like, that was an innocent joke. Who cares? Why do you need to apologize? Because there's a fence that entered into this family. We're going to deal with it right now. Okay? All right, baptism by fire. So I'm going to skip a lot of it. There's some stuff in the notes for this. But I just want to go straight to the point. That when it talks about the winnowing fan, what this is that wheat is brought into this storehouse. This is plentiful harvest. So this is believers. This is overflow from God. And he is sifting it of all the light stuff, all the stalks, all the chaff. It's going to come up. So it's a fork that you kind of toss up in the air. And so it's very uncomfortable. But then he gathers all the stuff that doesn't remain, and then he sets it on fire. And the reason it says an unquenching fire is once you set that thing on flame, there is nothing that can put it out. It's going to burn until it's done. You can throw water on it, it's done. So the same thing is in our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit. We say, God, I repent of my sins. The Holy Spirit says, I want to live and dwell in you. And then there's fruit produced of our lives. And then what happens is the pruning starts. What happens is he's starting to sift things up. And I'm telling you guys, listen to the Lord. When you walk in the Spirit of there's going to be things, of things that you thought were okay, all things are legal for me, but all things are not helpful. So he's going to start bringing things to your mind that are not helpful. I'm going to give an example of one of my good buddies in Costco. You can buy a Costco membership, and then you can use it for a year, but if you cancel it before a certain amount of time, they give you your money back. And so it's like, wow, man, if you keep on doing that, that's awesome. And then all of a sudden, he's like, now that I've received the Spirit, I cannot walk in that anymore. That was great. That was legal. That's what they said their policy was. But all of a sudden, he says, this is my conviction for myself. And so as a body, you're going to have convictions of sin for yourself in your own life. That does not mean that God has convicted Mark if he's convicted me. Okay? So there are certain things that Mark is walking in sanctification, and I am walking in sanctification, but that doesn't mean it's like, well, God told me to do this, and you need to do that too. God told me I need to stop eating pork or whatever. You need to do that too. No, 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 no. We're not getting into that. This is a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and he is going to start burning things in your life for you to become closer to him. This is the sanctification of Christ and of the kingdom, okay? We are moving into a kingdom. That's our goal. That's what we're going for, that Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to rule and reign with him forever. But those that just got into the door and those that have been walking their whole lives are all going to be there. But what is going to be true for every man is that God will sanctify us. And I believe that it's in this life and in the next, not or, it's and in the next life. And so with everything, there's two choices. We can either ask the Lord, God, burn up the things in my life that do not belong here. So there's an invitation of Holy Spirit, purge my life. And then we can listen and start walking in that. And again, surrounding with other believers. That's so good of like, you know, if we're not honest with each other of, man, I don't know if that's right, what you're doing. Because there's blatant sin and there's opinions, right? But as we start bringing clarity to one another, it's like, you know what? Yeah, I need to take that to the Lord. You know, like, let's just take cussing for a great example. This is something that I just went through in my life of I would say words and I'm like, they don't mean anything, but it gets my point across. And then a good brother said, hey man, I don't know if this is right and godly. And instead of being like, you don't know me. Like, I'm good. Instead, I said, man, I feel like that's a warning from the Lord and I need to go into a place of prayer and say, God, do you want to purge this from my life or not? And it was an immediate yes. So I'm like, oh, darn it, you know? And so for me, he is going to start in these little areas of my life saying, man, you're yelling at your kids too much. God, purge that from my life. Make me a father like you're a father. Or we can go down this line of ignoring God, of like, God, it's all legal. I can do it. And God's saying, this is not beneficial for your life, and I want to take it from you. And if you don't allow me to take it from you right now, I will baptize you in fire. And I think there's two areas. It's a now of that invitation, or it's a later on the judgment seat that it talks about in Revelation. Which one do you guys want? Right? It's like, well, duh, Rory, I want to deal with it now. He will cut us off, and this will erode our life if we continue to walk in these little areas of sin that he's saying, give it to me and I will burn it up. It gets to the point where the fruit of the tree is no longer there. And then what's the promise? I will cut you off and cast you into the fire. Okay? And I've seen this. There was a testimony I heard last week of a guy, and he was saying there's a call and response from the Lord. And it says, I feel like there's someone here that has sin, an unrepentant sin, that God is talking to you right now. If you do not repent tonight, you will get on a head-on collision this week. And it was a group of, like, students. And they're like, whoa, dude, you can't say that. And there was this girl there. He found out the next week that she had this unrepentant sin in her life, and God kept giving her opportunities to repent, and she got in a head-on collision, ended up in a coma for a few weeks, but then she turned her life to the Lord. And so God loves us too much to allow us to stay where we are. So if you're feeling like there's warnings in your life of, hey, repent, there's something in your life that I want to purge out of your life, God will go to whatever measures necessary to redeem you and to sanctify you if we have chosen to walk in the power of the gospel. Amen? Okay? So that's how we know that we're walking in the Spirit. Is there fruit being produced in our lives that is beneficial? Are we loving? Are we kind? Do we long suffer? Right? All of the fruits of the Spirit has to do with other people. If there's areas in our lives that aren't that way, have warning that God will bring a warning to you to say, I'm ready to take that and I will burn it up with the chaff. Mark or Bethany, I don't know who's coming up, but come on up. So the Lord is inviting us into fruitfulness through baptism. That's what this means. Is as we are raised up in Christ through the Holy Spirit, there will be fruit in our lives. And if you feel like you are in a place where you are not fruitful, or there is bad fruit in your life, there's an invitation this morning from the Lord saying, I am ready. I am ready to take that from you. Part of baptism as well is we are baptized into the body of Christ. So when you're baptized, you are now a part of the body. You have a unique role. And if you're not healthy, that means the body's not healthy. Okay? So that's the warning. It's not just about you and your life or even in your individual family. This is about the body of Christ and where the Lord has called us into his leadership with a message on forgiveness a few weeks ago that we are called into calling out blatant sin in each other and saying, we need to walk in righteousness. Amen? So we are baptized for the sake of the kingdom. Something that I love that Lauren brought up last week was it was all about the water. And something unique about water is if you don't have an inlet source and an outlet, so if you have one or the other, obviously if you have an outlet, you're dry. If you have an inlet but no outlet, you're dead. So you have to have this thing where it's coming into your life and then out of your life, into your life and out of your life. So this is great. I love that you guys show up here on Sunday morning, but the call from the Lord is now go. Part of this body, being a part of our kind of statement is that we are here to gather, we are here to equip, and we are here to commission. So if you're only doing the first two things of gathering and equipping, and you're not commissioning out to go encounter the lost, to encounter your family, to encounter your friends, to encounter your coworkers, to encounter the random guy on the street, then we are going to die in ourselves. And so the call of baptism is that we need to receive from the body and then pour out. And sometimes it's in the body, most of the time it's outside of the body. And we will see fruitfulness in our lives. There will be life-giving things. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come up, and we would love to pray with you today. So there's a couple of things. If you have not accepted the Lord in your life, we want to pray for you. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. And again, I just want to encourage you guys. Sometimes it happens up here in times of ministry, but a lot of times it's this preparedness of he is going to prepare your heart and he's going to draw you away to receive the Holy Spirit. But we want to pray for you. This morning during prayer, we felt like there was somebody with a right knee in pain. And so if your right knee is hurting, we would love to pray for you. And I don't know if this was connected or not, but the Dan. I know we for sure have one Dan here, but if there's other Dans, come on up. The Lord wants to bless you today. And I'll end with this. We were praying this morning, and we were praying over our kids, and that the Spirit of the Lord would pour out on all flesh for them to prophesy. And part of that is, and I'll just turn there real quick. It is in Malachi and in Joel, it talks about the Spirit being poured out in the last days. And part of those is that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And there has been, I just want to see a hand real quick. How many people have started to dream in the last month, like out of nowhere? Okay. God is releasing dreams, throughout the body of Christ. I'm hearing testimonies from other churches, from other places in the earth, where dreams, like I don't usually dream, Breezy doesn't usually dream. We have had more dreams in the last few weeks than I probably have in my entire life. And when that happens, God is saying, pay attention because I am coming soon. Pay attention because I am ready to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're having dreams and you want to be prayed over for interpretation or to even receive more dreams, come on up as well. God is here to pour out if we are ready.